Well, good morning. My name's Andy Parr. I've been away. But as, who was it? Said, I'm back. If you know the film Awakenings, yeah? Pardon? Right. Well, no, I'm thinking of the film Awakenings. And it was based upon a true story, El Dopa. And a guy fell asleep. Lots of people fell asleep. And they tried this drug called El Dopa. And very high dosage. And suddenly, this guy, played by
Robert De Niro.
Robert De Niro, noticed the spot though. Me and Robert have a lot in common, all right? As my kids constantly remind, his is on the other side, by the way. Okay, the guy who does 007, Daniel, he's got one too. So there's three of us in the world. Let's, what am I saying? Yes. Let's have a look into God's word, shall we? The hinge of the Bible, or should I say the hinge of the New Testament. Anybody hazard a guess? You've got it, Romans. So, let's look at Romans chapter 15. I've got to lean because old eyes, right. And I want to read from Romans chapter 15, beginning at verse 14. There's a paragraph entitled in the NIV, Paul the Minister to the Gentiles. And then the second passage is entitled, Paul's Plan to Visit Rome. And I want to kind of link these two passages. And so Paul begins, he's writing to the church in Rome. I myself am convinced, my brothers and sisters, that you yourselves are full of goodness, complete in knowledge and competent to instruct one another. I have written to you quite boldly on some points as if to remind you of them again because of the grace God gave me to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles with the priestly duty of proclaiming the gospel of God, so that the Gentiles might become an offering acceptable to God, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, all that's gone before, as a result, therefore, I glory in Christ Jesus in my service to God. I will not venture to speak of anything except Christ, except what Christ has accomplished through me in leading the Gentiles to obey God by what I've said and done, by the power of signs and miracles through the power of the Spirit. And so from Jerusalem all the way around to Illyricum, I have fully proclaimed the gospel of Christ. It has always been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ was not known, so that I would not be building on someone else's foundation. Rather, as it is written, those who are not told about him will see, and those who have not heard will understand. This is why I've often been hindered from coming to you. And now the part, a part of the part about Paul's visit to Rome. But now that there's no more place for me to work in these regions, and since I've been longing for many years to see you, I plan to do so when I go to Spain. I hope to visit you while passing through and to have you assist me on my journey there after I've enjoyed your company for a while. Now, however, I'm on my way to Jerusalem in the service of the saints there, for Macedonia and Achaia were pleased to make a contribution for the poor among the saints in Jerusalem. They were pleased to do it, and indeed they owe it to them. For if the Gentiles had shared it to the in the Jews, spiritual blessings, they owe it to the Jews to share with them their material blessings. And so, after I've completed this task and have made sure that they receive this fruit, I will go to Spain and visit you on the way. I know that when I come to you, I will come in the full measure of the blessing of Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Sometimes it seems long and just an account of people like Paul and James and Peter and John. But Lord, we thank you that it has a real relevance for us today, because we're walking on this earth just like they did. And we experience very, very similar problems and situations that they do concerning following after you. And Lord, how I pray that you would help us to glean from this passage those things that really challenge us and show us how to walk in a way that pleases you. Show us that, we pray, and bring glory to Jesus through our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I'd like to begin the message today by reading you some actual excuses, little notes written to school by parents about their child's absence from school. There's four of them. The first one, the parent wrote this. They said, "My son is under the doctor's care and should not take PE. Please execute him." Makes you think parents should go back to school, doesn't it? The second parent wrote this: "Please excuse Ray from missing school today. He had loose vowels." Another parent wrote this: "Please excuse Roland from PE for a few days. Yesterday he fell out of a tree and misplaced his hip." And this is my favourite. I love this one. "Jimmy was off school yesterday because he had diarrhoea and his boots leaked." I love that one. All right. Excuses. Now, our text today, I know it was a slightly long one, is a kind of absence excuse from the Apostle Paul. And it's as though he's answering this question: "Paul, why haven't you visited us in Rome yet?" All right? So it's kind of... And now, Paul, in this passage, instead of making a kind of feeble excuse or say, "I don't know," Paul tells them the spiritual reality, the truth about what had really happened to him to prevent him from going, and all about what had prevented him from visiting them. Now, how could Paul do this? I believe he could do it because Paul believed, and I want you to get this, because this is the kind of theme of the message. He believed that it was normal to expect the unexpected to happen whenever God was in control of a situation, whenever God was involved and allowed to lead. And think about that in your life and my life. Okay? When we let God control us and guide us and lead us, expect the unexpected. Now, I want to ask you this morning, how do you respond when things don't go as you planned in your life? Many of you are facing this today. Things aren't going as I planned. Things even aren't going how I prayed. We somehow think that we have a plan and then we pray it through and it's going to happen. We do that. How do you react when it doesn't happen? What do you do when things seem to go in a completely different direction altogether? How do you react? Or there seems to be a completely different timescale going on here in what we planned and what God's doing. Okay? Now, in one sense, this particular passage that we read in Romans 15, it might seem, when you read it, I'm sure you might have read it before, but it might seem a bit irrelevant, because it just appears to be a record of Paul's travel itinerary, as it were, 2,000 years ago. He's just saying, oh, I haven't visited you because I've been held up. All right? And we kind of wonder, where's the principle, where's the truth in all of that? And today I want to suggest that we can learn a lot about how God guides us from this passage and how he led Paul elsewhere in the scriptures. Okay? Expecting the unexpected to happen when God's in control. I wonder this morning. I'm not going to say I wonder. I know. Because as I prayed about this, I thought, I know. This is the message for today. Are you struggling to understand God's dealings with you right now? Are you a bit confused? Do you feel a bit mixed up about what's happening in your life and in your plans? Now, it could be something to do with a relationship with a person. I'm a bit mixed up with it. It could be about a possible job change for you, or a church change for you, and what you should do. It could be all about your finances. How many, do we ever hear sermons about finances? Last week, Lynn and I went to the Harrogate New Frontiers Church. Do you know what he preached about? Sex. And he said, you are going to hear me say that word many times today. But how many sermons do we hear about things like that? Finances. These things that are really part of all of our lives. Are you struggling with your finances? You prayed to God. You've given it to God. But you're still struggling. You're still a bit confused. Today, I want us to look at a few factors from this passage that really work to prevent our plans under God not working out in our lives. Got that? Some things that kind of interfere in our lives and the plan for our lives. That's at the end of the message today. I also want to sort of highlight and underline and put in bold type that despite all these things and some of these things happening in our lives, God's purposes will still prevail in our lives. Despite all these things happening, God's purposes still prevail in our lives. So what are the factors? I've got six, but I'm only going to speak about four. Thank you. Margie said, that's good. Just for the take. Okay? Because you're going to hopefully, maybe research the others. I'll tell you what the titles of those are anyway. The first factor, found in verse 22. Let me read verse 22 for you. This is why, Paul says, I have often been hindered from coming to you. So what's the factor there? Shall I read it again? Thank you. Hindrance. Some things, some people interfere, hinder us. All right? Paul says to the church in Rome, this is why I've often been hindered from coming to you. He says, I've often been. That kind of suggests what? A few times he set off to Rome and then something prevented him. Then he tried again, often hindered, and something else stopped Paul, right? And so Paul had been delayed getting to Rome. Why? From the rest of the passage, we see that Paul is a church planting pioneer, and he was focused on preaching the gospel where Christ was not known. Now, where was that? The Gentiles. You see, Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles. Although he was a Jew of Jews and a Pharisee of Pharisees in the past, God chose him, called him to take the gospel to the Gentiles. And he got caught up with doing that. And he got delayed because of that. Now, earlier on in Romans chapter 1, Paul had made his plans very clear to the church at Rome. He said to them, he says, I long to see you. I planned many times to come to you, but there was a delay. Now, this word hinder, it means cut in. Something cut in on me. It means cut off. Someone cut him off. Have you ever been cut off driving? Yeah. Have you ever cut anybody off?
No.
No, definitely not. Don't believe it. Don't believe it. It also means interrupt. Okay, that's what the word hindrance means. And everywhere, every time Paul turned his path or his face to go to Rome, something, somebody seemed to cut him off. Get in the way. Do you find that in your life? Yeah? What sorts of places? Maybe we could pursue that a bit later. Now, sometimes it's very difficult, not always very clear, you see. Sometimes it's very difficult to know in a specific situation why your plans go unhindered. They just do. All right? And here are some possibilities of hindrances. Page 3, you got that? It's actually, I've passed a script to Mohammed, and he's doing a fantastic job. Translating, okay? Great. They're having a good time. Are you having a good time? Well, I'll soon put an end to that. Right. The first thing, if you know your Bible, particularly the book of Acts, Acts chapter 16, the leaders are gathered together with the prophets, gathered together with Paul, with Barnabas, and they were wanting to go somewhere quite specifically. But it says the Holy Spirit stopped them. Have you ever felt that in your life? The Holy Spirit stops you. I'd say amen to that. Because sometimes people think God's communication with us is all very hairy-fairy. It's all hit and miss. No, it says here in Acts chapter 16, the Holy Spirit prevented them. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul says Satan hindered. Have you ever known that? Because why? Because we're in a spiritual warfare. And he's got the upper hand for a short time. Satan can hinder us. Then somebody said just before, who else cuts in? Somebody else. Other people can hinder us. We realise that. Can you whisper it? Even other Christians can cut in on you. Just because Christians say things doesn't always mean they got it right. All right? I remember reading a book many, many years ago. It was all about being called to go to Japan and praying the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest field. All right? And somebody reiterated what had been said in a prayer meeting. Lord, send the people out to China, to Japan, but don't send my son. Other people can cut in on us. Did you know? Now, I've saved the best till last. Well, nearly the last. Do you know what is the best person or thing to hinder us going on with God? Self. We get in the way. If you don't believe it, look in the mirror. He gets in the way. Other things happen in our lives as well. There is such a thing as spiritual shrapnel. Do you know what shrapnel is? It's not a new perfume. Shrapnel. Have I said it properly? Yeah, shrapnel is like when bombs go off or when bullets out of guns hit us, sometimes they break up into pieces and they have a devastating effect. All right, that's shrapnel. Now, there is such a thing, I believe, as spiritual shrapnel. Do you know what that is? The consequences of sin from other people or yourself can get in the way. Hindrances. Finally, God's priorities. Our priority in God's plan for our life gets in the way of God's priority. And so he cuts in. But how do we react? How do you react when that driver cuts in front of you? Oh, thank you. I'll hang him. What did he say, Sue? Angry. Oh, angry. I thought she said, I'll hang him.
Angry.
You get angry? Anything else?
Frustrated.
No. What do you do, Andy? Not. I've never heard it. Yeah. Beat your horn. Somebody beat the horn at me this last 2 to 3 weeks. I didn't know why, so I beat back. Probably. I was probably towing my caravan at the time. Yeah, you're probably right. It was a big lorry. Yeah, he bibbed his horn. Pardon? Actually, I just wondered why he did it. So I thought maybe just being friendly. You know, caravanners do that. They often bib each other. All right? Yeah. Now, what do you think it was that prevented Paul from going to Rome out of those six? God's priorities, correct. It was God's priorities that kept Paul from getting to Rome then. I would say, yes, let every one of us make plans for our lives. Don't sit there and be passive. God's given us a mind, make plans. But then let's also expect them to get messed up. You do your best, I do my best, but always allow God to mess it up, to change the plan, to supersede the plan that we've made. Why? Because God's got something better for us. He's got something better. If we expect, if we prepare, if we get ready for God's unexpected to happen in our lives, life will go a lot better. Expecting the unexpected. Now, that's your first factor. What is it? Hindrances. Okay? Hindrances. But then there's another factor that might prevent our plans from happening. And please hear this one. Our place, our type of ministry for God may sometimes change. Right? Our place, where we're working, or our ministry, where we're working, might change. It says here in verse 23 that after devoting a lot of time and attention to reaching out to the lost with the gospel to the Gentiles over and over again, Paul gets this sense that comes upon him that he has completed the task that God's called him to. Now, that doesn't mean to say everybody, all the Gentiles in that area had been converted. It means, Paul, your ministry in this area has come to an end. What have you done? Well, you've established reproducing churches. You've discipled people who love God and who want to share the gospel. That was my job for you, Paul. And you've equipped these people and these churches to do that. And that's your task, and you've done it. And you have finished my task for you. Now, Paul, I want you to move on. That's what Paul's saying here. Paul, I want you to move on. Now, moving on with God is another sermon in itself. How do we move on with God? When do we move on with God? Why do we move on with God? Now, just a personal testimony here. My family, particularly Lynn and I, have experienced this sense of completion in ministry many, many times over the... I actually totaled up. I've been kind of in church ministry for 34 years. That's older than some people in this room, isn't it, Lynn? Birthday girl? Okay. And God has moved us on many, many times. God has moved us on 14 times. Because we've been involved in 15 church plants. I counted them up. Talk about a gypsy. 15 church plants. God's moved us from town to town. God moved us from country to country, city to city, even from one Christian group to another, from one church plant to another. God has moved us on. And on each of those occasions, we've sensed that there was still a work to do in those areas, but our work had finished in those areas. God showed us that. Very, very real. Really? It was very real. Okay? Now, I want you, this is very important. Until God makes it very clear to you and I that that is what he wants us to do, that means moving us on, we should all be willing to remain and bloom where we're planted. All right? If God has called you to this church, then God wants you to bloom, to flower, to produce fruit where you are now. Because if we're not, either we've got it wrong, or God is saying, go, because I've got somewhere else for you. All right? So I believe that God wants us to bloom, to serve God where he's put us, in what he wants us to do. Okay? You and I have freedom to change where we serve God and what we do for God. Only under God. If you just fancy a change, forget it. It's when God moves you on. It's when God moves me on. I'm not leaving, by the way. This is not a message in preparation. I'm out the door. Okay? And I'm justifying the point. It's not. But we should only move ministry. We should only move the place where we're serving when God says. When God says. All right? But the key principle is this. Keep serving wherever God has put you. Keep serving. Find a place to serve. And if you're not, why not? Why not? Because God has brought you here. Okay? A third factor that might prevent our plans from happening, and it's this. Our personal preferences in the things that we do and want to do, we need to hold on to them not very tightly. Okay? Be willing to let go if it's God's will. Be willing to let go. While it's important to express a personal desire, keep in mind that what we want, what you want for yourself as you serve God, might not be what God wants. Just because you and I want to do it, it might not be what God wants. Or our timing might be wrong. We might have got the timing wrong. It might not be now. Now, I want you to hear Paul's emotions in this passage. In verse 23 and 24, he says this, I have been longing for many years to see you, the people in Rome. I plan to do so when I go to Spain. I hope to visit you while passing through and to have you assist me on my journey after I have what? Enjoy your company for a while. There's the feelings coming through for Paul. I long to do it. I can't wait to do it. I'm looking forward to do it. Why was Paul so set on going to Rome, do you think? Has anyone got a place that they would love to go to or haven't been yet? Oh yeah, but where? Where? Istanbul. Barcelona. Pardon? The Northern Lights. Is that Northumberland? No. Right. Pardon? Heaven? Heaven? We can arrange that, John. Canada. But did you know Paul wanted to go to Rome? Anybody been to Rome? Paul didn't see what you saw, but he wanted to go to Rome. And I was thinking, why Rome? I know they say all roads lead to Rome, but why Rome? Rome was the intellectual centre of the Roman Empire. Paul was a Roman citizen. He was made a Roman citizen. He wanted to go to Rome. He wanted to go there to see it and to experience it. Yes, God wants us to express our emotions. Don't get upset, this is an emotion, about demonstrating your emotions with God. And even sort of declare that's what you want to do for God. But don't hang on to it too tightly, because God might have something better for you. You want to do this, you want to go there. God might not want you to at the moment, or even at all. And we've got to be willing to be led by God in a different direction if he wants to. So don't hang on to it too tightly. Where do feelings, emotions come in the will of God? My little grandson, Ben, has a lovely train. And once he's put the track together, okay, or gets me to put it together because he's only two, he knows exactly where the train goes. He knows exactly where the tender goes, you know, with all the coal in. And he knows exactly where the carriage goes. What powers it? What goes at the front? The engine. And there's a battery in there. Right? The engine in terms of guidance in our lives is God's plan. God's plan. That should pull us along. Right? The tender at the back. In the whole idea of God's will and the performance of God's will in our life. What is that? If the fact that God loves us and God has got a plan for us is at the beginning, is the engine, what's the bit that drives it in the Christian life? The spirit and our heart. Believing, trusting, having faith. You got that? There's the fact. It's what God wants. The powerhouse for it is our faith at work. And where do the feelings go? At the end. But so often, don't we try to go the opposite way? We put, oh, because I feel this, because I feel this. Has God said it? Sometimes no. And we try to allow our feelings to pull us along. So what three things have we learnt so far about things that, factors that get in the way? Hindrances, right? One. Self is all part of the hindrances. Yep, John. Changing of ministry, or the place of ministry. And the third one? Personal preferences. Hang on to them loosely. There are two others, and I just want to throw those out. And Paul mentions it, because it's in the passage. So we need to, don't ignore the plight of the poor. One of the reasons Paul says here, he was taking up an offering from the Gentiles to take to the Jews. And he said they deserved to give materially because they've been blessed spiritually. So don't forget the plight of the poor. The second one, and this is something to do with us. Guard your personal integrity all the time in it. Don't try and manufacture it. Guard that. Okay? The last one is God's purposes always prevail. God's will always be done. Why? Because God is sovereign. He is in control. When you are out of control, when I'm out of control, God's in control. Always God's in control. And that is the certainty. That's the anchor of our experience, or should be, of God. Now, Paul doesn't know for certain that he's going to make it to Rome. He wants to go, but he doesn't know for certain. And he doesn't know when it's going to happen. But what he does know is mentioned in verse 29. He says, but when it comes, I will come in the full measure of the blessing of Christ. In other words, it's God's will. I'll come. I'll go. And I'll be blessed however God plans it. You see, when our plans blow up, have your plans blown up recently? You planned something and they've all gone, as they say, pear-shaped. Has that happened to you? Yeah? Happens to me all the time, just about. Has that happened? Well, you and I can know that we will experience, even when everything goes wrong, ultimately the full measure of God's blessing. All right? Now, why do I say that? Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6 says this. He, meaning God, who began a good work in you and me, will bring it about to completion at the coming of the Lord Jesus, ultimately. All right? There's nothing that you and I can do that will suddenly upset God and his plans for us, because he's in control, because he is sovereign. Did Paul make it to Rome? He did, but he didn't get there how he imagined. Did you know, in the book of Acts, it says there were 40 really devout Jews, it says, they took an oath. And they said, we're not going to eat and we're not going to sleep until we see that Paul dead. That's what they said. That's what they said. He was dragged out the temple, he was beaten, he was arrested, he was put in prison for at least 2 years before he was put on a boat to Rome. But what happened? Again, you look in the book of Acts and other the letters, it says that while he was in prison, he wrote. Where do you think we got the book of Philippians from? It's a prison letter. It was a time for Paul to be able to write it, and others. He had the opportunity to preach Jesus to all the officials that came to him. People were even allowed to visit Paul, and he discipled them when he was in prison. That's how we took, as it were, advantage of it. You see, we are so concerned with getting to places, even spiritually. And we forget that one of the most important things to God is the journey of how you get there. Because it's all the lessons that you and I learn on the journey that are so important, should be to us, and they are to God. All the lessons. Put your hands up if you want to know Christ better. Great. Now I'll tell you the bad news. Paul says, Lynn and I were discussing Philippians chapter 3, verse 10 onwards. And it says, Paul says, I want to know Christ. And lots of people have said, I want to know Christ more, haven't we? Yeah? I want to know Christ. I want to fellowship with his sufferings, to somehow experience the resurrection of the power that raised Jesus from the dead. Three things in there: knowing, suffering, adversity, and knowing the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you want the adversity, the sufferings of Christ? Hands up, those who want the sufferings of Christ. Pete says, yeah. You know why? Because it's all part. It's all part of the package. You want to know Christ more? Get ready for the adversity. Because that will blow your mind, but also draw you closer to Christ. I want to give you three passages to hold on to. The two are found in Proverbs and one is found in Jeremiah. Proverbs 16 and verse 9. Hold on to these passages, the truth of these passages, when the unexpected will happen. Okay? Proverbs 16, 9. It says, in his heart a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps. Okay? The Lord will determine your steps. In Proverbs 19:21, it says, many are the plans in a man or a woman's heart, right? But it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. And finally, in Jeremiah, he says this, I know, O Lord, that a man's life is not his own. It is not for man to direct his own paths, his own steps. Jeremiah 10 and verse 23, I think. God is sovereign. God will accomplish his purposes. What does God want us to do? If you're wanting to find God's will, first thing, seek first. Actually, I thought Pete, when he read from the passage, Matthew 6, yeah, about don't be anxious. Verse 33 was the key. Because it said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all those things that I've talked about in the past, Jesus said, will be yours. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So that's the first thing. Seek the kingdom of God. Secondly, make the best plans you can. And then be ready for God to change them, if he chooses. Thirdly, humbly submit. We don't hear very much about submitting to God, surrendering to God, but submit to God and say, just like Jesus, and we say it in the Lord's Prayer, thy will be done. Okay? Fourthly, take the next step. Don't expect to be pushed. Because you take the step and say, Lord, if you want me to go on, I'll keep going. But if you want to block me, block me. And finally, trust God to take care of everything else. Because you see, if you allow God's will in your life, it will be the best for others and other situations. It's got to be. Because we were singing, God is good. Romans 12, verse 2, talks about the will of God. The will of God is good, pleasing, and perfect. So God's will for me is good, pleasing, and perfect. It won't hurt anybody else. See the idea? So the will of God is not a destination, it's a journey. with God. Now, I have prayed about how I would feel God would want us to respond to this message about expecting the unexpected, if God is in control of the situation. And this is how I believe God has led me. And it's all linked with possibly the need to repent. Okay? I think about possibly our thinking and our attitudes might be wrong when things seem to go wrong in our lives. Okay, do you hear that? Our feelings, attitudes might be wrong when somehow God does something completely different in our lives. And we need to repent of those feelings. All right? That's the first. We might be, I put down, discontent with the lot that God has given us in our lives. Don't be. God promised to give you, as Pete read, what we need. Always what we need. So don't be discontent with that, because that's God's will for you. The third way is maybe concerning what God wants to do in our lives, we might be insensitive to God speaking. Or we would say, I'm a bit thick. I don't get it. And sometimes we don't get it with God, what God is wanting to do. Or we do know and we do this. What's that? Stop, resist it. I don't want God's will. It's too hard. I don't want to do that. We've got to repent of that. Because God's will is always good. It's always the best for us. Finally, and we may need to repent about this too. Sometimes we think we know better than God. God, you've got it wrong. I needed that house. I needed this. I needed that job. God knows best. Always. God knows best. Expect the unexpected. Now, where are you? Down here now. Crushed. I'm going to share a story that happened to me. That it helped me to come up with the title, Expect the Unexpected. Some know, but I'm going to share it with everyone. I thought retirement was going to be great. I've had two funerals in the last month. One at the beginning and one at the end. Nobody here. Well, you wouldn't be here, would you? All right. But the second one was my neighbour's wife across the road. She'd been ill, but she went into hospital on 10th of June. Was that Saturday, 10th of June? Yeah. She went into hospital on the 10th of June. Really ill. She died on the Tuesday, the 13th. Passed away. And we know our neighbours really well. And Dave, that's her husband, he approached me. I kind of knew what he was going to say. He crossed the road and he said, Andy, would you do the funeral? I'd like a vicar, a minister who knows us. Because they weren't churchgoers. And I said, okay. Retirement. Okay. Yeah, of course. Of course, okay. And that was on the, he asked me I think it was the Tuesday. They'd just come back from the hospital, and he walked straight across the road and asked me. He was utterly broken as a man, and rightly so, because he loved Pauline to bits. He did. And so when you're going to do a funeral, you want to say a few words about the person, and you want to get it right. So I arranged to go over on the Friday night that week. It seemed right. And I went over about 8 o'clock. And I knew that Pauline, who had passed away, and his daughter Vicky, really didn't want too much about God. So I had to sort of lay my cards on the table and say, I only do Christian funerals. I don't say I only do funerals of Christians. It's a different thing. All right? We've got a message of hope. He said, oh yeah, we want to. So I sat down to work through the order of the ceremony. And there's some wonderful passages of hope. They wanted Psalm 23, but nothing else. So, okay, that's fine. And we had a wonderful evening together. And then he said, what are you doing tomorrow? And I said, well, we usually go and do what we call healing on the streets in Blackburn. And his daughter Vicky said, I wish somebody could heal my hand, because I broke my hand years ago. I'd had an operation and I've never been able to put any pressure on it. Could you pray for me? Where's Lynn? But I said, okay, can I pray for you? No, I said, can I pray for you and your hand? You can't just pray for your hand, you've got to pray for them and the hand. And she said, oh, yes. So, to quote Mark Marks, I prayed my best prayer. Right? And I'd said to her, before I prayed, Vicky, how will we know if God has healed your hand? Well, she's a personal trainer, getting people to do press-ups and everything. Terrible stuff. Too much exercise. And she said, well, if I do a press-up, I've never been able to do it, to push up. If I do a press-up, she said, I'll know if God's healed me or not. I thought, not a lot of pressure, is it? So I prayed, best prayer, and I said, okay, Vicky, are we going to test if God's done anything? And she got down. Come on. I was saying, come on, God. And she actually let down the pressure onto her hands like that. And I thought, and I said, is that it? Oh, no. She said, I've got to push up. Go for it, Vicky. She pushed up. No pain. I'll do it again. I thought, no. She did. She went down and pushed up and she jumped up and went, oh, something's happened. I was going to sort out a funeral ceremony. And I think, what's happened? God healed you. God must have touched you and healed you. Then, yeah, I won't tell you the next bit. And, oh no, a dad, Dave, said, well, I remember, Andy, you came across when you were washing your car and I told you that I had a bad shoulder and you said, can I pray for you? And I prayed for him. And he said, I've not had any pain from it ever since. And I thought, I was not expecting this. On Friday night. Now, I'm telling you this, not to glorify me, but just to say God does the unexpected. Why did I not think that he could do it on that night? Go across with that, but I didn't. Now God can do the unexpected in your life if you want him to. You've got to be ready. We've got to be ready. We've got to be open. We've got to be sensitive to what God wants to do. And God will blow our minds if we are. He will. Otherwise, all we've been singing about today is a waste of time. Singing about how good he is, about how precious he is, about how great he is, and then go away and expect the unexpected for God. What are you going to face this week, going through this week? Something tough. I want you to think of something really tough for you. Because we're going to pray, and I want you, if this message is helping in any way, I want you to pray, Lord, I want to expect the unexpected here. All right? So we pray together? Yeah? Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you that you are good. Sometimes that's just enough. But it's knowing that and believing that and trusting in that in our lives all the time. Lord, we come before you this Sunday, 12:30. You know what's been on our minds. You know maybe meetings we're going to have or things that we don't know are going to happen this week. It's going to be tough. It's going to be hard. It's suddenly maybe going to be thrown upon us. And Lord, we want to pray right at the beginning that would you enable us to expect great and unexpected things because we fix our eyes on Jesus in them, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. Lord, forgive us. Forgive us for ungodly attitudes towards what's happened in our lives. Sometimes we've been wrong. Sometimes the feelings we've had have been wrong. And we ask your forgiveness. Lord, we just ask that you would broaden our understanding of the way that you want to work in and through our lives. We bring before you these things for this week, the known and the unknown. We lay them out before you. And we want to pray as Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. We want your will to be done. Not my will, but thy will be done. Lord, you're going before us. We thank you for that. We want to follow. Just guide us. Help us to know your presence. Help us to be sensitive to your leading. Help us not to resist you in any way. In your wonderful name, Jesus, we pray.